My message is titled Focus. Everybody say focus.
Focus.
What do you got to focus on? Well, let's stand, and this is 16 verses I'm going to read. It's most of my message. 16 verses, it's a lot. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, 25 through 40. Now, regarding your question about the young women who are not yet married, I do not have a command from the Lord for them. But the Lord, in His mercy, has given me wisdom that can be trusted, and I will share it with you. Because of the present crisis, I think it is best to remain as you are. If you have a wife, do not seek to end the marriage. If you do not have a wife, do not seek to get married. But if you do get married, it's not a sin. Hallelujah. And if a young woman gets married, it is not a sin. However, those who get married at this time will have troubles. Everybody say troubles. And I'm trying to spare you those problems. Oh, that's so encouraging, huh? For those of you that are wanting to get married. But let me say this, dear brothers and sisters. The time that remains is very short. So from now on, those with wives should not focus only on their marriage. Those who weep or who rejoice or who buy things that should not be absorbed by their weeping or their joy or their possessions. Those who use the things of the world should not become attached to them. For this world as we know it will soon pass away. I want you to be free from the concerns of this life. An unmarried man can spend his time doing the Lord's work and thinking how to please Him. But a married man has to think about his earthly responsibilities and how to please his wife. His interests are divided. In the same way, a woman who is no longer married or has never been married can be devoted to the Lord and holy in body and in spirit. But a married woman has to think about her earthly responsibilities and how to please her husband. Can I hear an amen, husbands? You guys are in. I'm saying this for your benefit, not to place restrictions on you. I want you to do whatever will help you serve the Lord best with as few as distractions as possible. But if a man thinks that he's treating his fiancée improperly and will inevitably give in to his passion, let him marry her as he wishes. It's not a sin. But if he has decided firmly not to marry and there is no urgency and he can control his passion, he does well not to marry. So the person who marries his fiancée does well, and the person who doesn't marry does even better. A wife is bound to her husband as long as he lives. If her husband dies, she's free to marry anyone she wishes, but only if he loves the Lord. But in my opinion, it would be better for her to stay single. And I think I'm giving you counsel from God's Spirit when I say this. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray today that as we talk through this passage, God, that you give us wisdom, Lord, and understanding of what you want to impart to us. That, Lord, that you'd renew our focus today on what is good and what is right and what is pleasing to you, Father God. That your hand be upon us and give us strength, Father, in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. This is a lot, man. This is a lot to take in. This is a lot to talk about. This is a lot to discuss. Well, we have such a mixed congregation here today. We have single, we have married, you know, we got it all here. So where do we go? And I'm going to talk about focus. I used to be an injection mold maker. I was an injection mold maker for 25 years. And if you don't know what an injection mold maker does, he makes molds out of aluminum or steel for plastic parts. So every plastic part is produced in a mold. And so that's what I did for 25 years. I had my own business for a while. And I was making a mold one time. And sometimes when you make a mold, it's got to have a mirror finish. And a mirror finish means you got to be able to see yourself in the mold. Just like you see right here on this big mold that this guy's polishing. And so one day I built this mold and I polished it up and everything. And I put the mirror finish on it. And I took it and I delivered it. And then he, you know, they run parts so that they could test it and make sure it's good before they do production. And so the owner of the company called me. He says, hey, I need you to come take a look at the parts. I said, okay, great. So I buzz over. I'm thinking, man, that mirror finish was good. I can see myself in it, you know. And so I get over there and he shows me parts and he says, "Do you see the scratch?" "No." He says, "Let's look in the mold." They open up the mold, look, and he says, "Do you see the scratch in that mold?" I said, "No." I said, "All I see is myself." And he's like, "There's a scratch in the mold." I'm like, "I can't see a scratch in the mold." So he hands me a magnifying, you know, a visor with magnifying glasses on it. And I look down at it. I'm like, "Oh my gosh, there's a scratch in the mold." You know, I couldn't see it without the extra focus of the magnifier. But it brought everything into focus on the mold. And I could see that little scratch. And that little scratch showed up in the part. And this is what Paul's trying to do for us. He's trying to bring our focus onto the things of God. He does not want us to lose sight of what's truly important. Amen? Truly important. Pastor Jesse and I are taking a class right now in college on how to write our dissertation for our doctorate. And man, it makes us think. Oh my gosh, I feel like sometimes my brain's going to explode. Because we got to think deep. We got to think past the surface. We can't just take it for what we read. We got to research. We got to do multiple research and stuff. It's just crazy. We got to focus in on that. And it's challenging to focus in. But that's what God is calling us to do. Now, we know that marriage was created by God, and it's a good thing. Can I hear an amen? You know, Proverbs 18:22 says, "The man who finds a wife finds a treasure, and he receives favor from the Lord." I know I've received favor from the Lord because of my treasure. You could have said amen, honey. She is my treasure. I'm telling you, she is a blessing. But to Paul's perspective, it's a distraction, and it takes us away from the things that God has for us. In verse 29 in 1 Corinthians 7, it says, "But let me say this, dear brothers and sisters, the time that remains is very short. So from now on, those with wives should not focus only on their marriage." Amen? You know, Jesus is coming. Can I hear an amen? Doesn't it feel like it's coming soon? I mean, how many of you feel like Jesus is coming soon? How many of you feel like he's going to come in your lifetime? I do. I feel like he's coming. I feel like it's not today or tomorrow, but it's coming. You know, and I believe I'm going to see it. I believe one day, you know, I'd love it if it would happen on a Sunday morning. Whoop! You know, we hear that. We hear that horn and everybody leaves. Can I hear an amen? Everybody leaves. But Paul said it then, and he's saying it to us now. The time is short. The time is short. And we need to be ready. We can just put it on cruise control and just go through this life and go to heaven. Or we could do something with what we have. We could take advantage of the freedoms we have to do the things that God's called us to do. Amen? To go into all the world. You know, when we say go into all the world, Jesus clarifies that in Acts 1:8. He says go into Jerusalem. He said go into Corona. Go into California. Go into the United States. And then go to the ends of the earth. See, our going is not just to the ends of the earth. Let me tell you this. The ends of the earth are coming to you. That's why we have Spanish going on right now. Because half of our community is Spanish. You know, you got Anglo, you got Caucasian, you got Spanish. Running 50-50 in our community, or running 40-something in our community. Then we have Arabic, because there's a strong Arabic population. We have Samoan, because there's no Pentecostal Samoan churches in this area. They're coming to us. So we don't have to go, you don't have to spend $900 on a plane ticket to go to Africa, because you can walk across the street and go to Africa, amen? You can walk across the street and go to Mexico. It doesn't matter, they're coming to us, and Paul's telling us, hey, listen, you got to get ready for what's coming. You got to get ready now, and you got to take on, we sang about taking on, you know, what Nidia talked about, what breaks the Lord's heart. Take on what breaks the Lord's heart. It's souls. Because he doesn't want anybody to perish. He does not rejoice when the wicked are lost. It does not bring joy to him. He doesn't say, yeah, another one's gone. Another one bites the dust. No, he doesn't say that. He mourns for them. He wants everyone to be one. Say everyone.
Everyone.
Hallelujah. You guys are on today. So we've talked a lot about immorality. And immorality is a big thing. I mean, the adultery, the fornication, the homosexuality. This is all adultery. And these are all things that, you know, the Bible says will keep you out of heaven if you're practicing these things. So if you're in a homosexual relationship, I believe that blocks you from heaven. If you're in an adulterous relationship, that blocks you from heaven. If you're in fornication, that means living together in sin outside of marriage, that blocks you from heaven. Now, I didn't write it. That's what's in there. That's what we've talked about the last few months. And I kind of said, Lord, man, I feel like I'm beaten over the head about this. But listen, sexual immorality is a very strong thing. And Paul has brought it to our attention. And we need to know it. Because the world's pushing their agenda. So we're the kingdom of God. I'm going to push his agenda. Amen? If you're not married and you're living together, get married. Stop messing around. Get married. If you're having an adultery, repent and stop. Man, you know, I've been in this church a long time, and I've had people come to me and you know, say, well, I'm in an adulterous relationship. I'm like, oh my gosh, how do I even deal with that? You know, repent, you know, and then God, every time, God is restored, though. God is restored, and it's turned out great. But because with repentance, God can restore. But we had one couple that come to us. Remember, honey? She said, well, I met this guy on the internet. I went, I had an affair with him for a couple of weeks, and I came back. And he goes, well, I'm willing to forgive her, and, you know, all is well, and, you know. And I said, well, it sounds like to me, man, you just need to repent. And we can start the process of healing for your marriage. And she goes, I'm not going to repent. I'm not sorry. I said, okay. There you go, Bear. We're done. God bless you. I can't help you. You know, if you don't want to repent, then there's no healing that's going to come. Amen. She didn't want to repent. She said, I'd probably do it again. I'm like, wow. Bye. But Paul wants to bring our focus to Jesus. So he's pointing out the things of that day, of what was happening, you know. But he also says, not to let go of your marriage. If you're married, don't let go of your marriage. Amen. But don't let your life be all about marriage. Don't let your whole focus be on your marriage. You know, come into agreement. See, Delonda came to me years ago and she said, I realize you're not mine, you're the Lord's. But it's the same thing. I belong to the Lord. She belongs to the Lord. She is doing everything that God tells her to do. I'm doing what God tells me to do. But you know what we're doing? We're doing it together. We both, when Delonda came to me and said, we need to move, the Lord said, I mean, it was hard, but I signed that paper, and we moved. And we've been nomads ever since. You know, we're wandering in the wilderness, hallelujah, but we don't care. Because we're together. We're together in serving the Lord. And when you have a relationship that... Because when I come to Delonda and I say, the Lord told me that we're to be the youth pastor. She says, okay. I said, the Lord told me to start my own business. Okay. The Lord told me to do this. Okay. The Lord told me to do that. Okay. The Lord told me. And she just says, okay. She never argues with me about it. Never. She always goes with it. And when she comes to me and says, the Lord's saying this, I say, okay. You see, because in the kingdom of God, if you're going to serve the Lord together, if you're going to be married and you're going to focus on Jesus, then you've got to trust the God in each other. Can I hear an amen? And you've got to be able to go with it. Because if you can't trust the God in each other, you've got a problem already. And that's why Paul says, don't marry, you know, unequally. Don't marry a man that doesn't believe in Jesus and think you're going to convert him. And you men, don't marry a girl that doesn't serve Jesus because you think you're going to convert her. It's not going to happen. She's not going to listen to you. She's going to do what she wants. And she's going to come to you one day and say, I'm tired of you. Get out of here. Because that's what happens. Because you're saying, I'm going to go to church. You know, and it's not conducive. Now, my dad wasn't a church-going man. My dad, man, he got wounded by the church early on, and he's like, yeah, I'm done with the church. That's what he said. And but you know what he did every Sunday? He woke my mom up. You go to church. And he never held my mom back from the church. He pushed her to go to church, to take the kids to church, but he just couldn't connect with it until he older in life. Then he finally connected back with it, and it was really tough for him. But you know, when you're in your marriage, see, Delonda and I have this idea that we want to obey God. And so when you're married and you push for that, then you can better focus on the things God's calling you to. But you got to be able to trust each other, amen? So we've come into agreement to serve the Lord together with all of our hearts. It's not just one person serving the Lord alone. It's serving God together. It's a joint venture, you know, in serving the Lord. Because when you get married, you're one. You know, but in the Corinthian population, he focuses on the immorality and the distraction that's taken away the people from God. But Paul didn't have to deal with what we have to deal with today. Throw some slides up there, Ed. Look at that. See them people sitting in the snow at the football game? See that NFL on Sunday morning? It's just people there all the time. You know, Paul didn't have to deal with this kind of distractions. Paul didn't have, you know, YouTube, you know, social media. He didn't have all the electronics. He didn't have all the entertainment. He didn't all have all the televangelists on TV that people think it's okay if I stay home as long as I watch it on TV. He didn't have to deal with that mess. You know, and I'm not against these televangelists. Like I said, I was with Marilyn Hickey, and she was wonderful. Her and her daughter Sarah were just so wonderful to Delon and I. Just such a blessing to minister with. But you see the young man up there. I've got a message. You know, and we watch it on TV and we think, oh, it's okay, I'll just catch it on TV later. No, it's not about that. It's about coming together, being the body of Christ. Can I hear an amen? It's about being one in the church, focused on Jesus, focused on his work, his plan, his future, that we focus on him. Together, because together we're what? We're better. Together we're better. You know, there's a survey that the Barna Group did, and the Barna Group does surveys of religious things, churches and stuff, and they do surveys. And he did a survey, and they found that 7 out of 10 Americans believe in Jesus. 7 out of 10. Of those 7, 4 don't go to church anymore. They've lost their focus. So over 50% of the church in America has lost its focus and doesn't connect together as a church. So that, you know, that's 3 out of 7 come to church. That's, you know what, 40-something percent that come to church now out of those that believe in Jesus? It's just been dropping off. You know, and I've heard people say, well, I've already heard that message. I've already heard about that. What are you going to tell me that's new? Well, you know what? If we know so much, we should be here to share. Amen. Right? If you got all the kingdom of God in you, you need, then you need to be here and you need to be a leader. You need to be a group leader. You need to be sharing the kingdom of God. Right, Pastor Jesse? They need to be imparting to people. Not staying at home being by themselves, but they need to connect with the body of Christ so that we bring life. Amen? But when you lose your focus, you know, and we lose our focus for multiple reasons. We get offended. We don't like what the pastor said. You know, and I've had people tell me, I don't like what you said. You know, and I don't like what you've done. Okay. But why leave? Why leave? You lose your focus. Why stop going to church? We do need each other. We need to encourage each other. Amen? We need, you know, I mean, I'd much rather have somebody lay hands on me than me putting my hand on a TV. Because isn't that what they say? Put your hand on the TV right now and I'll pray for you. Or send me $100 and I'll pray for you. Send me $1,000, I'll pray for you twice. We need each other. We may hear the sermons. We may know them. But the key to our focus is doing them. is walking it out in our lives on a daily basis. Paul was concerned with the immorality of that day, as I am. There's things trying to be pushed through that I can't say that homosexuality is a sin. They want to make that a law. I told Pastor Rob, I'll go to jail, then you can go to jail, then Pastor Jesse can go to jail. You know, and then maybe I'll get out, and then you'll get out, and then he'll get out, or we'll have a revival in prison. Because we're not going to stop preaching the truth, amen? You know, it's better to go to Egypt where you got armed guards there and you preach the truth. I mean, we went to one place and they had 15 guards. The police picked us up at the edge of the city with an escort, sirens and lights blaring. We followed him into the meeting place. We got out. There's 15 armed guards there. We went down the alley to Pastor Emel's cousin's house for dinner. And this was the church that we were going to speak in that Emel got saved in, got baptized in. And he told me, you know, that you're not allowed to change your church. So they'd be in there at night, in the middle of the night, pouring cement and doing work on the church building and stuff. You have to have an executive order from the president to be able to change your church. It's intense. So we walk down to that lady's house, and we go up there, and we're having dinner, and it was a little warm in the house, and the balcony window was open and everything. I thought, oh, I'll go out on the balcony. And I looked out, and I looked down at all the guards down there. I'm like, no, I'm not going to go on the balcony. You know, I'm just going to stay inside right now, you know. And then they asked me to go pray for a lady that had a migraine headache, and when she opened the door, she was just sobbing because she was in such pain. And we prayed for her and left, and I went and preached. And after we preached, we had to go to another dinner. I was so full. Had to go to another dinner. And as I'm going to that dinner, here comes that lady that we prayed for with the migraine, all showered and hair done and everything and smiling. And God had touched her. And she's just going for it. But, you know, when you got all those guards right there, you start going, oh, my gosh. You know, there's definite concerns there in the churches, you know. Metal detectors at every church that you go through. They didn't make me walk through them, but everybody that came in had to go through the metal detector. You know, so there's other stuff that Paul didn't have to concern himself with that we need to. You know, and because of all that's going on, it can get a little overwhelming as being a pastor to see all this distractions and all the stuff going on that we have today, because we have a lot going on today. You know, I know that just because people don't come to church doesn't mean that they don't love Jesus. I get that. But I know that the Lord wants us to connect with each other, to encourage one another, to build each other up. He desires we fulfill His plan for our lives, not just ours. Paul's saying that getting married can distract you from the plan. Like I said, I love being married. And we're on the same page probably 95% of the time. Because we're not perfect. Anybody here perfect? All right. I was going to say, we got a cross out there for you. You know, but we're different. Dawn and I are different. We look at things differently, but we've been learning that it's okay to be different. Amen? We're okay. And we can talk and we can be passionate about our talk, but in the end, we love each other. You know, and we get along. But somewhere in the middle, Delana says, somewhere in the middle between you and me is a perfect person. I'm like, amen. Because what I know and she doesn't, and what she knows and I don't, we come together and we work together. Amen. Somewhere in the middle of is a perfect person. What I lack, she's got. What she lacks, I have. And we have to trust the God in each other. But it does take work to have unity. Amen. We have to stay focused. And I know that because Delon and I have focused on Jesus, our marriage is good. If I just focused on Delonda, our marriage probably wouldn't be good. I have to focus on Jesus. I need to be around men that sharpen me, you know, people that iron sharpens iron. I need that. I need that accountability. I need to be people speaking to my lives. And Paul's just challenging not to put all your focus on being married. Whether you're single or you're married, don't put all your focus on getting married or being married. Focus on Jesus. Focus on Him. Focus on your life being transformed. You see, because my life being transformed by the kingdom of God, by Jesus, then I've learned how to talk to my wife. I've learned how to respond to her. Now, I'm not perfect. I say some things sometimes. I think, wow, I'm so stupid. But she has, but she's with the Lord, so she has grace for me, so she don't beat me up. She continues to love me and give me another chance. But that's what growing in Christ will do. That's what being transformed does, amen? And we're doing our best to live for God in all that we do. God first. And Paul's saying, if you're single, use that energy to do God's will. You know, when we were, let me read that. I'm saying this for your benefit, not to place restrictions on you. I want you to do whatever will help you serve the Lord best with as few distractions as possible. Don't allow the distractions of this life to get in your way. When we were in Egypt, there was these young ladies going around taking pictures of all the events that we were at. And they're from Bakersfield, found out. And about 24 years of age. And one of them goes to Vanguard, and they have a business here of photography and everything. And so they were teaching in the Bible school in Egypt, a class on missions. And so they were teaching over there. So they went there for 6 months. These two young ladies went over there for 6 months to teach and to minister and to help the superintendent of the Assemblies of God in any way that he needed. They're 24 years old, and they're going. And the year before that, they were in Syria or Jordan, and they just go as the Lord leads them to go and to serve God. You know what he's saying? And that's what Paul's saying. If you're single, use that as an opportunity to do what God's created you for. Amen? Because when you get married, them restrictions will stop. Then we start. Restrictions will start. You know, I praise God. Delonda does not hold me back. She says, "You're going where?" I said, "I'm going to go to Pakistan." She says, "Ugh, okay." You know, and she let me go to Pakistan the first time. She was very nervous about it. But she trusts who? God. When your focus is on Jesus, everything this way will change. So, if you're struggling this way, my question would be, what are you focusing on? What's your focus on today? Are you worried about your money? Are you worried about your relationship? Do you have distractions that are getting your attention that you're not focused today? Is your marriage difficult? Are you the problem? Because you're not focused this way? Well, I'm in church. Of course I'm focused this way. No, I mean, just because you're in church doesn't make you a Christian. You park in the, you put your car in the garage, and, you know, and you can sit in the garage. It doesn't make you a car, right? Just because you're in the garage, that's where the car goes. Just because you come to church doesn't make you an on fire Christian. You got to make the decision. I'm going to be on fire for Jesus. I'm not going to let the distractions of this life hold me back. It can be very challenging. Because I just see that today, some of you need to make decisions about the distractions going on. Some of you are very distracted about life. Whether it be your marriage, whether it be your finances, it be your job. There's distractions. And God is saying to you today, I am here to release you. Like I said, it doesn't mean he releases you from your marriage, but he releases you on how to be married. See, God had to teach me how to love my wife. God had to teach me how to be married. And he did by the Holy Spirit. When I got filled, the Holy Spirit started talking to me. I'd get mad at Delonda, and I'd be mad. And one day I punched a hole in the door when I was young, you know. I was just so mad, Terry. I didn't know what to do with all that was inside. So boom, I'm right through the door. And I'm like, oh, shoot, now I got to replace the door. And Delana starts laughing at me, you know. And she, one time, she got mad at me, and I walked away, and I went in the bedroom door, and I shut the door. And she came, and she kicked that door in half. Didn't you? That's when we were young, man. We were rowdy when we were young. But then we'd laugh about it. I'm like, oh my gosh, you see what you just did? It always brought us back to, but you know, when we start focusing on God, putting all our focus on Jesus, we learn how to love each other. We learn how to really respect each other. We learn how to care for each other. She knows what I need. I know what she needs. Because of Jesus. Our focus is on Jesus. And listen, if you desire to be married, focus on God, and He'll get you the right person. Do not marry a non-believer. If your passions inside of you say you need to get married, then get married. Don't. How do I say this, Jeanette? Jeanette lost her voice. The Lord healed her arm, but He shut her mouth. She says, I'm not right. I'm probably not, but... but... you know, if you're single and you want to get married, when you meet a guy you like a lot, then say, okay, hey, listen, I want to get married. What do you think? Don't date for 10 years to try and figure out if you want to get married or not. Oh my gosh, you don't discern. Run them by the women of the house. Run them by Delonda. Delonda will pray. Sandy Tanner, she's got a great discernment for them guys. Delonda too. Just run them by them. Have lunch with them. Hey, what do you think? No, get away from that guy as fast as you can. Amen. But, you know, don't mess around. Don't play games. Just find the one that you like a lot. You know, this is that old song. You know, people say, why did you get married at 19? I said, because I met a girl I liked a lot. And if not, do what God's calling you to do. Do what God's calling you to do. He's coming. He's coming. And He needs us to tell people He's coming. You ever want to go anywhere with me? You want to go to the ends of the earth? That's great. You want to go to the city park? That's great. You want to go to, you know, the border? That's great. Delonda, you want to say something?
Yes, I do.
Is it on? Yes, it's on.
I just think it's a perfect time to share with you that I believe it was when I was in Egypt and we were at the conference, the Lord gave me a dream, and then He spoke to me and said that this is going to be a year for marriages, and that He gave us a word, gosh, many years ago, saying that He was going to use us to put people together.
To put people together.
Yeah, and that that we would see a lot of marriages, and so I just really believe that what Pastor Ron is saying, focus in on the Lord and let Him bring you the right one. Because if you don't, if you're focusing on your situation, you're going to make human errors. But if you're focused on the Lord, you're going to allow the Spirit to bring about what is supposed to be. Because don't worry about how long you've waited. He may have saved you from a bitter divorce. He may have saved you from many, many things. Focus on the Lord and let Him bring you the right one. But know it's coming. It's coming. Amen. If it's supposed to be yours, it's coming. And I'm really excited. I'm like, I saw like many couples getting married in front of the church at once and not doing the whole thousands and thousands of dollars and months of planning for this elaborate wedding, getting it done and moving on, putting the money towards their future. And so I'm excited to see what God's going to do. Be excited with me and pray for it, but focus in on what God has for you so that you can line up. Because why should He give one of His precious daughters if you're not lined up? Why should He hand over one of His precious treasures to somebody who's not going to treasure it? And that goes both ways, men and women. So Amen. Focus in on the Lord and know that He has somebody for you at His perfect timing. Not Amen. Ours. Amen?
So let me just finish with this, a question. What is distracting you? What has got you out of focus with the things of God? Paul tells us not to get caught up in those things because they're going to go away. The great thing about God is the grace that's being imparted to each one of us. We can look at our lives and determine if we have been distracted and we can stop it. we can make a decision to stop it today. We can work through it and renew our focus on Jesus. We just ask for help. Amen. We just ask Him for help. And when we ask Him for help, He's there to give us the help that we need to get where He wants us to be. So ask yourself, who or what is getting your attention right now? Is it Instagram? Is it Facebook? Is it Gmail? Is it YouTube? Is it some other online connection? Is it gaming? Is it a man? Is it a woman? What's got your attention right now? You know what has your attention. And the idea that Paul's bringing to the table is God should have your attention more than anything else. Put your attention on Him, and the other things will fall into place. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before You today to renew our focus, God. Lord, that our attention be zeroed in on You and everything else flow out from there. Father, I pray that today that, Lord, that You'd reveal to us by the Holy Spirit right now about those things that have been capturing our attention. And Lord, that we could let that go today. If you're here today and you say, Pastor Ron, there's been some things that have really been capturing my attention. I need to release them to the Lord today so I can focus on Him. If that's you today, just raise your hand because I'm going to pray for you. Yeah, amen, 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 amen. Praise Jesus, praise Jesus. Father, I pray for every person that raised their hand today, that Lord, that You have revealed to them today what's been getting their attention. That, Lord, that today we let that go, Lord, and surrender our focus to You. That, Lord, that we'd have a revelation from Your Word and what You're calling us to, God. And, Lord, that You give us the strength to let go of the obstacles to focus on Jesus. That, Lord, that You would be the glory and the lifter of our head, Father. That You'd be our joy and our strength, Father God. And that, Lord, that You do a work in each one of us today. Father, that we'd be so focused on You that we'd receive all that You have for us. Because, Lord, You said You're about to open the windows of heaven to us. And I pray that today for every person, Lord, as we tithe and we give, Lord, that You open the windows of heaven to us, God. That there's not enough room for all that You have for us. And, Lord, that You bless Your people. Lord, for those that are married, I pray that, God, their marriage would just be focused on You together, that they would be one in You. For those that are single, Father, that they would focus on You and do Your work, God. But Lord, if it is their desire to be married, I pray that You bring them that one. You bring them quickly. You do a quick work, God. Because Lord, we know the end is near. The timing of the Lord is now. So I pray, Father God, for all our single people that desire to be married, that You bless them. And Lord, there's even marriages that need healing today. I pray healing in those marriages, Father. That You heal them, God. Lord, that You show every person in this room how to be a better husband, how to be a better wife. And Father, and that those that are single, if they desire to be married, You show them how to prepare. How to prepare. That they'd be ready, God. Father, we thank You for Your word today. Lord, help us be focused. Help us to be focused, God. To focus on You, the glory and the lifter of our head. And Lord, that we not be distracted by the junk of this world, God. But we'd be about Your plans and Your purposes, Father. We thank You and we praise You. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Let's give the Lord a big hand today, huh?